Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Fasten your seatbelt. Super Tuesday is here. Voters in 24 states go to the polls. Last night, candidates crisscrossed the country trying to reach every last undecided voter. There was lots of hoopla. In Boston, Barack Obama fired up the crowd.
You and I together, we will transform this country and we will transform the world. God bless you, Boston. I love you.
Down the road in Worcester, Hillary Clinton asked voters to join her winning team.
I pledge to you, whether you're a Pats fan or a Giants fan, if you vote for me, we will be on the winning team in November.
John McCain rallied in New York.
We're going to win New York today, and we're going to win New York in the general election, and I'm going to carry the state of New York, and we're going to campaign all over this magnificent state, and we're not going to give it up to anybody.
In California, Mitt Romney reached for the GOP mantle.
Our nominee ought to be somebody who stands for Republican principles, conservative principles, and will keep us in the House that Ronald Reagan built.
And in Tennessee, Mike Huckabee asked voters to send a Super Tuesday message.
We're going to show that the people of America still make the decision as to who their president will be. And we would like to tell the media who it's going to be rather than let the media tell us who it's going to be. Tomorrow, we take a stand.
And don't forget Ron Paul. This hour on Point, it's Super Tuesday, and we really want to hear from you on the candidates, the race, the issues, and the moment facing this country. Throughout the hour, we'll check in with reporters around the country. We'll go to key states, but the floor is really and truly yours. So grab the phone and join us. We're turning the microphone over to you. Who's getting your vote today and why? How do you see this moment in American politics? What's at stake for the country? Tell us your hopes, your dreams on this day. With me first, from Washington, for a big picture look at the day's voting, is Ann Kornblut, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you very much.
So what are the odds, first of all, that we're going to have a clear winner out of either party by the end of results coming in from Super Tuesday?
Well, I can't guarantee when the results are going to be in by. Maybe tomorrow rather than today. But at this point, it looks like the Republican side is perhaps going to be more decisive than the Democratic one. There's been a late surge for Mitt Romney in California. That's why you saw him fly out there at the last minute yesterday. And if he does win in California, then he lives to see another day in this race. But barring that happening, John McCain has been really on his way, it looks like, toward the nomination. So that's the Republican side. The Democratic side, both the Clinton and the Obama campaigns are predicting, if not a tie, then something inconclusive happening today. If they're within, say, 100 delegates of each other, winning 100 delegates of each other today, and we can talk about the complicated math that goes into that, then the Democratic side is going to go on. They're already making their travel plans for after Super Tuesday. So barring a surprise today, I think we're going to see this thing keep going.
And give us the key states to look for first on the GOP side of the ledger here. Where are the real bones of contention or the states that could turn this one way or another?
Well, we'll be interested to see what happens in Massachusetts. John McCain made a last stand there, hoping to send a signal to Mitt Romney that he can't even win the state where he was governor. But that's more symbolic. I think the real test, and this is true, too, on the Democratic side, is California. California has the most delegates in this race for both sides, and on the Republican side, it's winner-take-all. So whoever wins, wins. And if John McCain wins, I would say that the chances are he is the nominee, and if Mitt Romney wins, then he is in this game. So it's going to be a late hour when we know what happens there, but it has the potential to be decisive.
And Obama has been campaigning in lots of places because California, until recently, looked out of reach. Maybe it's neck and neck there now. On the Democrat side, let's say it goes to one or the other candidate. It's proportional, so it'll be divided. But can California be offset by lots of victories in other states?
That's the thing about the Democratic side. You're going to see the traditional so-and-so won Idaho, so-and-so won New Jersey kind of count tonight on Tuesday night. But it's not going to tell you as much as the actual delegate count. So in a state like California, just to take it as an example, it's broken down by congressional district. And in each congressional district, it's proportional. So is assuming you meet a certain threshold, usually about 15%, you're going to get a percentage based on how much you've won. You're also going to get a percentage of the statewide total. So in that system, what you've won statewide, sure, that sounds good, and Obama or Clinton will be able to say, I won 6, 12, however many states on Super Tuesday night, but it won't mean as much as the delegate count because they're in this hunt for delegates.
So, Ann, you're in the National Press Corps, the media Mike Huckabee was talking about. I guess I sit in there, too. But how do you think the media is going to be interpreting victory out of this? Is it strictly delegate count on the Democrat side? Is it going to be muddled or for both parties? Will it be muddled because of superdelegates and the uncertainty of where and how to count them? Will it be a state count? You know, how are the headlines going to be decided here?
Well, I think you're going to see a combination of things, and I think you're going to see the campaign spinning the results far more than usual. I think there will be three measures that will be sort of added together. One will be the statewide count. One will be the delegate count, as rapidly as we can calculate it. And then the third will be California, and that will be true on both sides. So I would look for those three things, and I think we're all going to be looking for those three things tonight. And then, of course, there could be a surprise of some kind that we're not even envisioning. But I would imagine that those are going to be the headlines. And like I said, we're still going to be figuring it out on Wednesday, maybe even Thursday.
And last question. We've had this front-loaded primary process this year. We're going to hear from listeners and voters this hour what they think about it. You're in the National Press Corps. What do you think of it? Has it worked for the country, for the process, for deliberation over this incredibly important set of choices?
Well, all the predictions that, you know, Iowa had this sort of unfair role and that New Hampshire also, you know, an all-white small state had this unfair role, I think have been proven false. It's really gone on. A lot of states are going to be voting. Millions of people are going to be weighing in before it's all over. And in fact, you know, we said it was front-loaded. It's gone on. We're now in February. It's been a month. So I think it could well be that the system, that the people have taken back the system in a way and are casting their votes in a way that matters more than even usual. So except for all the travel, no complaints from me here.
Ann Kornblut, we'll be back in touch with you on the other side of all this. We're grateful to you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Ann Kornblut with The Washington Post. Joining with me right now in Hanover, New Hampshire, our own Jack Beatty, On Point News Analyst. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Tom.
Jack, it's all about the listeners today. We want to hear their hopes, their dreams, their sense of where the nation stands right now, the choices before voters as they go to the polls today. And it's exciting, Jack. I feel this kind of a celebratory sensation, whatever the outcome today, to see so many Americans still so deeply in the thick of this and so much attention being paid to what's going on.
And so much at stake, Tom. I mean, this is an historic election. For the first time in American history, war is going to be on the ballot. The voters will decide how many more Americans die in Iraq, how many more suffer grievous injury, how many never know happiness again. That is the starkest difference between the parties. That is the moral test for voters. You know, we voters are like so many Neros watching from our comfortable seats in the Colosseum. The gladiators in the arena look up to us and, you know, thumbs up they live, thumbs up they die. Which way America's thumbs? I think that's really the overriding moral question in this election.
Jack, I'm excited to be hearing from listeners in this hour. And we're really turning the microphones after all these months of issues and pollsters and pundits and you name it, turning it over to you. Let's go straight to Sharon in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am so glad you're feeling better and back on the air. I missed having you around.
It's great to be right here, Sharon. What do you think today?
I'm telling you, I have never felt so, I'm in my 40s, I have never felt so emotional about voting before. I made up my mind yesterday. I've just been so torn. I want to vote for a woman desperately. I want to vote for Hillary. She's smart. She's capable.
She
and
is.
I couldn't do it. I had to vote for Barack Obama because I'm so tired of Democrats and Republicans fighting, and I'm tired of things not getting done. And I just, in my gut, I felt like Barack Obama could do it better.
You really think he can stop that? He can end it? How would he do it if he won, Sharon? How would he get us over that hump if that's the hump you went over?
I just feel like a Clinton cannot be the bridge.
I don't feel like she will get them working together, and I feel like he can do it. He can restore a little bit more peace and stability in D.C., and he can restore our place in the world as good people. And I just he gives me that he just had the edge. But it was so hard for me to get there.
And you stood with your pencil over the square and what? Just didn't want to do it, but had to.
Correct.
Wow.
Truthfully, I'd be thrilled if either of them get in the White House. We are so desperate for a change, and I am so desperate to end this trillion-dollar war, and I do believe both of them will do that. But I also want a change in the culture of Washington and how things get done. And
we hear it, Sherrod, and we thank you for your vote and for your call. Wanted to vote for a woman, couldn't quite do it, went there. She says to Obama, let's get one from Nashville before the break. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I voted for Obama. I've been following him for a long time. I'll tell you what appeals to me about him and then the things that really turn me off on the other two. First of all, people talk about experience, and I'm reminded of the story about the guy that walks into the bar that's got a broken nose and scars and he's been, you know, in all kinds of fights. And
yeah.
So somebody says, you know, I hate to fight him. Another guy says, I hate to fight the guy that did that to him. The Obama in Illinois showed the ability to get everybody to work together. His approval rating among Republicans was tremendous after he'd been in office for a while. McCain, I like his independence. I do not like what he's talking about, you know, staying in the war.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. It's Super Tuesday, the biggest day of presidential primary voting in the history of the country. And the floor is yours this hour, On Point. The microphone is yours. We're taking your calls, and a lot of them, I hope, to hear what you think about the candidates, the race, this moment in our nation's life. Jack Beatty is here, and the calls are rolling in. We would welcome yours. Who are you for, and why? And will you vote for your party's other candidate if yours loses? What's moved you in this campaign season? What's missing? And do you feel the sense of urgency to do something better this time, something bold? What is that? This was Hillary Clinton this weekend on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos saying she's ready to take on John McCain.
On issue after issue, I can draw a very stark contrast with Senator McCain if he happens to be the nominee. Take health care. I intend to go into the general election standing for a core democratic value and, frankly, a moral principle to me, and that is universal health care. Everyone covered, no exceptions, no excuses. And finally, as you know, George, I've been taking the incoming fire from Republicans for about 16 years now. And I'm still here because I have been vetted. I have been tested. There is not likely to be any new surprises.
And here's John McCain on Face the Nation saying there are distinct differences between him and the Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
If I can win on Tuesday, looking ahead, which I hate to do, I think we're going to have very respectful but very sharp differences. They want to raise taxes. I want to lower taxes. They want to have the government run the health care system in America. I want the private sector to do it.
John McCain over the weekend on Sunday. Let's hear from you. Jen, calling from New Milford, Connecticut. Jen, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I haven't voted yet today, but I am going to vote for Clinton. One of the biggest reasons is I've been thinking a lot about Bush, and not only Bush, but who supports him, who's his cabinet, and who informs him. And I think the Clintons can bring together a better cabinet on day one than anybody else.
And why do you think that, Jen?
Well, I think there's just a lot of longtime supporters for Clinton, people who really, really loved the Clintons in the 90s. And I think they can bring a lot of experience. They both have a lot of experience in the Beltway in D.C., and I think they can pull it all together. And pull it all together quickly. And quickly, I think, is what all Americans want. They don't want someone to kind of fumble and find their way during the first months of the presidency.
Jen, Jack Beatty says that for voters, this vote is like a chance to give an up or down, thumbs up or thumbs down on the war, to say more will die or lives will be saved. Do you look at it that way? When you step into the voting booth, do you feel like you're Nero sitting in the Colosseum giving an up or down thumb on the war?
I think in some ways, and I think it's important to show that we don't support it. And, you know, I've thought about the fact that Obama didn't vote for the first, didn't support the war in the first vote, and that Clinton did. And when I think about it, I think, well, we were all fooled. Not just Clinton. You know, Obama didn't support it in the beginning, but in the beginning, we all had the wool pulled over our eyes.
Yeah, there was a lot of wool around, and if you look at the polls, a lot of regret about it now. Jen, in New Milford, thanks very much for your call. Let's get another right here from Sam in Littleton, Massachusetts. Sam, what do you see out there on this Super Tuesday?
Hi, Tom. Great to have you back. I'm glad you're healthy.
Thank you. Me too.
What I see is something historic going on that is getting a little bit underplayed. I voted for Obama primarily because I'm a registered Democrat and couldn't pick a Republican ballot up here in Massachusetts. If I'd been an independent, which I have been in the past, I would have voted for McCain, because I think this battle between or in the Republican Party between the ultra-conservatives and religious conservatives and the backlash going on against McCain now is really historic. They've dominated the political agenda in this country probably since the Gingrich thing in 94. And if McCain beats back the Limbaughs and the Ann Coulters and the Rick Santorums, that may say something about the direction of that party that I'm very interested in.
Do you think it could be a different Republican Party with a McCain presidency? In what way?
Well, I basically think that the religious conservatives have dominated our agenda in terms of social issues, and also the ultra-financial conservatives in terms of fiscal issues for quite a long time. Now, McCain is very conservative, much more conservative than those people give him credit for. But I think if there's a battle going on and the people who've controlled the Republican Party for the last 15 years are losing control, I'd be interested in what Jack or some of the other experts have to say about what that means for the Republicans and for the country going forward.
Sam, we'll take it to Jack. Let's hear for just a moment from John McCain on CBS over the weekend, saying that he's the real conservative, not Mitt Romney, who we heard earlier talking about staying in the House of Reagan.
If you look at my record and you look at Governor Romney's record, particularly as governor of the state of Massachusetts, it's very different, and I'm far more conservative.
I'm far more conservative, says John McCain over the weekend. Jack, our caller Sam says he's a Democrat, but he sees the possibility of a new GOP profile emerging. Certainly, the sort of hard right GOP radio gabbers are up in arms about what's going on here. They have not liked and do not like John McCain. Do you see a new GOP emerging, Jack?
Well, today, Richard Viguerie, whom we well know, the fundraiser, conservative activist, has sent out an email saying, let's have a new candidate in this race. A little late for that. I think that's indicative of what Sam is talking about. But, you know, on Election Day, where are these Viguerie-like voters going to go? They're going to go to McCain if they vote. Now, the question is, will they be demotivated? Will they not vote because he's the nominee? I suspect that all of those differences will fall apart when it comes down to Election Day. And I agree with Sam that McCain is something new, and in that he is not identified with those parts of the party. And yet his record shows strong support, much stronger and over a longer period than Governor Romney, for core conservative values. So I think that that the right wing is going to get over its problems with McCain. And I think that he'll, if he is elected, that'll be a problem for him from day one, how to deal with these people, how to keep them in the tent.
But on, Jack, on so many social issues and on campaign spending and what's framed as a First Amendment issue, John McCain has not been there. On immigration, he wasn't there. I mean, he may be conservative when it comes to the war, 100 years if necessary, he says, but it is kind of hard to see him getting in lockstep with what has been at least the right-wing media mainstream. And if the imagine he became president, a Republican president who's got a long record of being in a different place on these issues, doesn't that put a lasting sort of rock in the shoe of what we've come to know as mainstream Republicanism?
It does, but you know, when you look at his record closely, say on abortion, it's almost 100% pro-life record over a long, long time. And he has said now consistently, I came in with Ronald Reagan. I can't, you know, I'm a Reagan Republican. And, Reagan kept the synthesis together, kept the three elements of the Republican Party together. And I think McCain is going to have a harder time with that, but I suspect they're going to come around to him on Election Day. I think if he were to win, then the problems would begin because you'd have, especially as you're right, over the issue of immigration, you'd have a lot of fractiousness there.
Let's jump out for just a moment here to Reagan country and Dan Walters in California. He's political columnist for the Sacramento Bee. Dan, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom.
Great to have you. Your state at the heart of a whole lot of huge focus here today in both parties. How does it look as voters head off to the polls? What's it feel like out there?
Well, the feeling is that something's going on for the first time in California for many decades, and that is that we've got some real races, and California's playing a role. You say Californians are heading off to the polls. Many of them have already been there. About half the votes cast in California will be cast by mail. And so a lot of these, in fact, a lot of them were cast for people who are out of the race, people like Rudy Giuliani and John Edwards, and those people are having a little regret now that they voted so early.
Right.
But anyway, there's a big turnout. The expectation is that we may set a record for a presidential primary, about 8-9 million voters, and that the Obama-Clinton race is very, 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 very close, too close to call, certainly. The last statewide field poll had Mrs. Clinton ahead by about 2 percentage points, but there's some overnight polling that indicates that Obama may be even ahead now. It's very tight. On the Republican side, it appears that Mr. McCain is leading, not with a wide margin, but Senator McCain seems to be leading Mitt Romney.
And Dan, what about the question that our caller raises on the GOP, if McCain should take the nomination? Does it force an evolutionary moment in the Republican Party? You're out there in Reagan country. I'm not sure that Ronald Reagan's been portrayed in many ways exactly as he was, but would McCain, would an ascendancy of McCain mean the GOP has to kind of get onto a new horse?
I think it probably does, and that horse has already been galloping around in California in the form of Arnold Schwarzenegger, as you know.
Yeah.
The GOP is a very conservative group in California. The activists are, but the party itself, when you look at the overall voters, and you look at polling data on the overall voters, are not nearly as conservative as the party leadership is, and tends to be kind of a Schwarzenegger-ish, middle-of-the-road, conservative-type party as opposed to a hard right party.
And what about on the Democrats' side? You had the spectacle of Michelle Obama, Caroline Kennedy, Oprah Winfrey, and Maria Shriver all on stage for Obama within the last couple of days. What about that as a demonstration of what's going on in the Democratic Party, Dan?
Well, it demonstrates that there's that controversy is alive and well in the Democratic Party. You know, there's a lot of media traditionally about the ideological split in the Republican Party, to which you alluded a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that kind of a split in the Democratic Party, too, from the, I would call it kind of the hard left, which is the counterpart to the hard right in the Republicans, to the kind of pragmatic liberal group. And that's been a thing that's been kicked around the Democratic Party for a long time, sometimes in very vitriolic terms. And both parties face this kind of dilemma, both in California and nationally, it strikes me, is do you elect someone whose ideological heart is pure, or do you elect someone or nominate someone who you think can win?
So who's the hard left? Who's the hard left candidate here, and who's the pragmatic?
Well, that's a really tricky thing. The funny thing is that on ideological terms, Barack Obama is probably to the left of Hillary Clinton, but she is more unpopular with the conservative right and even a lot of independents. It's a very strange sort of dynamic. Obama seems to transcend ideology to a certain extent. That said, nevertheless, the left wing, as it were, of the Democratic Party in California is supporting him, whereas the kind of the moderate or more pragmatic, the elected officials and that sort of thing, seem to be lining up behind her.
And yet he's the one for whom we have Republican callers who come in and say, I'm tempted to go to Obama. He's the one seen as bridging the gap potentially between the two parties. What a picture.
Yeah, it is a kind of an odd picture. In fact, the polling in California indicates that were Hillary Clinton to be the Democratic nominee and John McCain the Republican nominee, actually John McCain would stand a pretty good chance of recapturing California, which was long held by the Republicans, including Ronald Reagan, recapturing California for the Republican Party. And in fact, it's mathematically almost impossible for the Democrats to win the White House without California. So the state could not only be a battleground in this primary for the first time in many decades, but a battleground in November as well.
Stakes as big as they get. Dan Walters with the Sacramento Bee. Thanks for joining us from California.
You're welcome.
There's a good cultural fit between Obama and California, and Maria Shriver at that Los Angeles meeting, at that rally, alluded to it. She said, think about it. If Barack Obama were a state, he'd be California. Diverse, open, smart, bucks tradition, inspiring, dreamer, leader.
Well, that's a pretty good string of words. Not a bad string of attributes, but then we'll see how it goes. Let's get a call from Skokie, Illinois, and Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Just wanted to say we're just so lucky to have these great candidates for Democrats. I'm a Democrat. I came out finally for Hillary because Barack's great. I'm in love with all of them, really. But Barack decided not to support Barack because he's changed his view on health care. He's now supporting universal health care, at least he said in his commercial just recently. So I'm not really sure where he stands on that.
He'd like everybody who wants to be covered to be covered, but without the mandate that Hillary Clinton's got in there, and that is enough to push you over to Hillary. Have you voted yet, Greg?
Well, no, I do want the mandate, everyone to be covered. That's what Hillary stands for, I believe. No, I haven't voted yet, but I'm going to pretty shortly.
Greg, stick with us. Listen to this. Tell us what you think. Here's Barack Obama speaking in Minnesota over the weekend, saying that a top priority for him would be improving America's global image.
To try to bridge the divide between Islam and the West. I do so with the credibility of somebody who lived in a Muslim country for 4 years when I was a child. And although I'm a Christian, I have a sense of that culture.
Greg in Skokie, Illinois, how about it? Obama is... You know, a lot of supporters say he could do a lot for America's reputation around the world. Do you think Hillary could as well, just by coming in and being the un-Bush?
I think both of them actually can. But like I say, they're both a lot wiser, you know, as far as their speech, as far as the world, as far as the United States is concerned. So I really, like I say, they're very close on the issues, except for health care and, I guess immigration rights also. What I found is Barack is saying now that he wants licenses for illegal immigrants, and Hillary is saying now that she wants comprehensive immigration reform.
So you're feeling happy on both sides, but you've gone today in Skokie to Hillary. Jack?
Tom, Greg should really have a look at the Daily Kos website. Yesterday they ran a long letter from, I'd say, over 100, maybe more, healthcare experts, professors, doctors. And in this letter, they say there is simply no factual basis for the assertion that an individual mandate by itself would result in coverage for 15 million more Americans than would robust efforts to make health care more affordable and accessible, which is what Obama wants to do. They say that that's an inaccurate claim, that it would reduce the ranks of the uninsured by 15 million people. He ought to have a look at that. They go into why that is, but it's not. I know Paul Krugman has been attacking Obama on this, but these experts, and they go from everywhere, basically think it's a false issue and that Obama would get everybody covered too.
Well, it's not easy being a voter. As you say, Krugman said yesterday that without insisting that everybody be in the pool, it just can't be done economically. And then, of course, on cost, Republicans say that's their issue. They want the private market to drive costs down. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. It is Super Tuesday, February 5th, here at last. Hard to believe. Iowa seems so long ago, but today, the biggest day of presidential primary voting in the history of the country, and the floor is yours. We really want to hear what you're thinking, feeling, how you're voting, who you're supporting, and why on this day. Are you on the change bandwagon? That's been the big word. What's the change you want, the change we need? How would you describe our country's moment in history right now? Where are we, and how about the media? Has it done right by the candidates, by their ideas, by the voters? Do you feel like your vote really matters this time? Does that leave you excited, a little nervous, both? Jack Beatty's here, and we're going to turn to a lot more calls. Let's hear for just a moment from Mitt Romney. Over the weekend in Minnesota, he said he would bring broader experience to the White House than John McCain.
Senator McCain has been a senator. He's been one of several hundred in Washington talking about problems, expressing his view about what ought to be done, meeting in committee meetings, voting on issues, but he hasn't been an executive leader these last 25 years.
Okay, and he went on in recent days to practically call for Mike Huckabee to drop out of the race. Some speculate that Huckabee being in there has drawn votes away from Mitt Romney. Well, that didn't sit too well with Mr. Huckabee.
My feeling is, if anybody should step aside, maybe Mr. Romney should. After all, he's the one who spent $100 million to have the same market share that I've had for $7 million.
Ouch, Huckabee knows how to frame a point right there. Let's get a call from Milford, Massachusetts. And John, hi, John, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about Ron Paul and how he's not really getting any press, which is well documented. And I think that he's the only true anti-war candidate. Now, they say Barack Obama is anti-war, but he wants permanent bases in Iraq. What do you think of that?
To tell you the truth, off the top of my head, I don't know Barack Obama's position there, but you've come to Paul, and did you come to him as a Republican or a Democrat or neither, John?
I was politically apathetical, so this will be my first election I'm voting in, but I do have conservative beliefs.
And how do you feel about, I mean, you blame Ron Paul's low profile on the media, yet he stood up there in debate after debate, and people have heard more of this man than they ever have. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to win, but you're voting for him anyway because you want to make a statement.
Yeah, I mean, you have to stand for something, and I believe in his issues. He's honest, and I think he's the only one that's right. I mean, the Iraq war, everything hinges on that. The economy is messed up due to the Iraq war, so I think that's the most important issue.
We have
to get out of all of this overseas mess that we're in.
It's a big one, John? And a tough one. Jack, let's just listen for a moment, if we could, to Ron Paul. Here he is in the last week's GOP debate in Simi Valley, California, talking about Ron Paul fundamentals on the war.
There was no threat to our national security. They never committed aggression. It's unconstitutional. It's an undeclared war. And we have these silly arguments going on about who said what when. I think it's time to debate foreign policy and why we don't follow the Constitution and only go to war with a declaration of war.
Jack Beatty, this man has had enormous, deep appeal, intense appeal to a narrower but really avid group of Americans.
Yes, and we've heard it on this show. You know, to John's point, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have come out against permanent bases. That's on the record. And on Ron Paul, John, I really think you ought to take a look at a recent New Republic. They had a cover story on Ron Paul's writings from as recently as the early 90s. And basically, the man was a racist. That's what these writings show. They are full of denigration of African Americans, some anti-Semitic comments. He ran a newsletter, and consistently they published vile material that I think would make you sick. So I think before voting for this man, you ought to really look at his past. Paul said, well, look, I didn't write all that stuff. I just put that in my newsletter. He's responsible for it, and I think it's a blot on his record, and the press hasn't picked it up because, well, after all, he's going nowhere. Well, to vote for this man, it seems to me, it may be something you want to think twice about.
A lot of history behind us here. He's not the only politician, I guess, with some history behind him. Let's hear ads everywhere these days. Most of Hillary Clinton's focus on the economy. Here's one that's getting national play.
In this troubled economy, how can so many millions of people simply not be heard? Well, I hear you. You're asking for health care that covers everyone, protection from losing your home. You'd like to fill your tank without draining your wallet and give your kids the future they deserve. If I'm your president, I will bring more than my 35 years of experience to the White House. I will bring your voice. I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
We've got violins and pianos and a beautiful message on the economy, and there's Hillary Clinton. She wants your vote. So does everybody else in this race today. Let's go to Augusta, Georgia, and Gloria. Hi, Gloria. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm just calling to, after waiting forever, to say, for one thing, that I have totally no respect for Maria Shriver.
Now, why is that?
That's because she's a sellout. She's a Republican in name only. She's a Republican now. That's what's happened to the Democratic Party.
Well, her husband's a Republican, but you mean she's a sellout because she lives in a big mansion with
the office of governor. Please, there are Democrats out here like myself who have voted in every election post Nixon when I was 17 and I couldn't vote, although I got people registered. That have no options this election. We're not voting at all because you took our options away. And by you, I mean the media.
What's missing? What's the option you wanted, Gloria?
Jack Beatty. What?
What's the option you wanted?
I wanted John Edwards. But the press dismissed him because he just didn't fit in with the role model where you want to have this big issue of a woman or a black man, both of which have no chance whatsoever of being elected during the general election. You watch, and you guys know it. You do the polls. You know it. But you pushed McCain. After McCain met with the lobbyist of Wall Street right before Iowa that the Washington Post reported, all of a sudden McCain became the man, and it was Obama 24/7.
Gloria, our ears are wide open. What is it about John Edwards that had you on board with him that
because
you feel is missing now?
He spoke for the middle class. He spoke about the issues, but you didn't want to talk about the issues. It's always the horse race. And there are those among us out here that are not like the, the reality show electorate.
Mm-hmm. And Hillary Clinton's ad, we just played it, and she's talking about the millions of people who don't get heard. That would seem to be the middle class.
I know about Hillary's voting record, and both she and Obama voted for the bankruptcy bill. I know where they get their contributions from.
Which made things very tough.
They are going to go, either one who gets elected, if either one of them were to even get elected, Obama would have to prove he wasn't black to the electorate, that he's for everybody, and he would do nothing for his so-called people. And Hillary would have to prove she is not for women because they both are against each of what they stand for.
Gloria, stand by. Jack Beatty, Gloria's reaching out to you. She said she wants a candidate who stands up for the middle class, little guy, and she doesn't feel like she's going to have one with this duo.
Well, she's absolutely right about the coverage for John Edwards. That's empirically proven. There was a study out just a couple of weeks ago showing the airtime each of these candidates have got. As I remember, he got about a third of what Hillary and Obama got. And her other point about issues couldn't be more accurate. I mean, all we talk about, really, all we can talk about, because that's what's going on, is the horse race, the polls, who's up, who's down. And an issue-heavy candidacy like John Edwards, I'm afraid, simply went by the boards, and many of the issues he raised, inequality, poverty, there were no questions about them in the debates. So I agree with her that Edwards has got a bad deal from the media, and conversely, I agree with her that McCain is the media's darling. There's no question about it.
Gloria, we thank you for your call. And let me get another one from the South where there's a lot in play today. From Birmingham, Alabama, Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. What do you know, Bob?
Voted this morning. Voted for Barack Obama.
Do you think he can win in the general election as a man of color?
Sure. Sure I do.
Even in Alabama?
No. I don't think he'll win in Alabama. I think Republicans will win here.
So why did you go for Senator Obama?
I like the fact, I like the way he's raised his money from small donors. I sent him $100, and that's basically the way he's raised his money. He hasn't sold his soul, sold himself out in the process of getting where he's gotten.
And so you're up for him. We're going to hear more from the South in just a moment. Bob, thank you very much for your call. Barack Obama pushes back on Hillary Clinton, saying, in fact, that he's the one who's more electable in the general election. Here he is saying that Sunday on Face the Nation.
I can get some votes that Senator Clinton cannot get. That broadens the political map. I think it bodes well for the election, but more importantly, it bodes well for us being able to govern and actually deliver on promises like health care for all people or making college more affordable or trying to put together an energy policy that actually makes sense for America. Those are going to be the kinds of difficult issues where we need a working majority for change. That's something I think I can put together.
Barack Obama over the weekend on his electability in the general. Let's hear a little more from the South. Aaron Gould Shinen joins us from Atlanta, Georgia, staff writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper there. Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what does it look like in your neck of the woods these days? Barack Obama would really like to get Georgia. Is he well-placed to do that?
I think he really is. The polls over the last week have shown him just opening up a really large lead. One poll had it as high as 22% over the last couple of days. We definitely feel like he's going to win the statewide vote, but because of the way the delegates are distributed, Hillary Clinton could still come out of Georgia with a couple of delegates of her own.
And what about on across the South first for the Democrats? You've got Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, where Hillary Clinton was first lady for a long time, then, you know, a little bit of Oklahoma, even up into Missouri, kind of a southern-flavored state.
West Virginia, too.
Yeah, that's right. As you look out that way, what do you see?
Well, I think I saw a poll late yesterday. The last poll out of Alabama I saw was the first time I saw Obama winning in Alabama. He really needs to do well across the South, and I think he's poised to do so. He'll definitely seems like he's going to win here and pick up the majority of the delegates. And you know, you got to look across to Alabama and Tennessee. It seems to be a little bit closer in Tennessee, as the African American population is not quite as high there as it is in other parts of the Deep South. But I think he's poised to do really well all across the South.
Now, what about with the GOP, McCain, Romney, Huckabee in the South?
It's really tight here. It really seems to be down between McCain and Romney. Depending on which poll you read, they're 1-2 or 2-1.
In Georgia?
In Georgia only, right.
Now, what about Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee? Does it look like he may come away with some state wins or at least a modest pot of delegates out of the South?
Yeah, I think he could. It doesn't look like he's going to win in Georgia, and he's not leading in the other states that I've seen. He seems to be closest in Georgia than, say, Tennessee, but he ought to be able to pick up delegates here, Tennessee, certainly in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri, I think, are the states that he's focused the most on. Now, you know, the Republicans do things a little bit differently than the Democrats. Not all their states are winner take all, but they don't proportion quite as complicated as the Democrats do. So his opportunities may be a little bit more limited than if he was on the Democratic side.
Mm. Aaron Gould Shinen with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks for the debrief there.
Sure, man. Thank you.
Let's go to Christine calling from Hanson, Massachusetts. Hi, Christine. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was I just voted, and I was actually pretty unprepared to become overwhelmed with emotion when I saw a woman candidate on the ballot. I voted for Hillary, and I made myself a promise I wasn't going to be swayed by the media, and I would stick with her, even though it was very tempting to vote for Obama this time. But it was very emotional to see a woman's name on the ballot. It just didn't occur to me that I would feel that way.
Christine, describe for us what was going through your mind as you looked at that name, a woman's name, and reached down to make that vote for a woman this close to the presidency.
Yeah, I just saw her name there, and I thought this is historical. This is the first time that we're going to get to choose. We have a capable woman running, and we get to make that decision. And I think, as wonderful as Obama is, and as great as his message is, I just couldn't be swayed away.
Christine, listen with us, if you would, for just a moment here. Hillary Clinton was at Yale University, her alma mater in law school, and in a roundtable discussion with women voters on the eve of Super Tuesday, her longtime friend Penn Rodine introduced her to the group, and there was that little bit of emotion again.
You will say what needs to be said, you will do what needs to be done, and you will make our beloved America the great nation for children that we have always dreamed it could be. So welcome home, dear friend. We are so happy.
Well, I said I would not tear up. Already, we're not exactly on that path.
And there it is. I don't know if that's theater or the real deal, but it was effective in New Hampshire. Are you feeling optimistic for your candidate, Christine, for Hillary Clinton today?
I'm feeling very optimistic, and I'm actually just very happy that we have the choices that we have this year.
You know, Christine, we appreciate your call, Jack.
Yeah, you know, Bill Clinton, speaking to an African Methodist church in Los Angeles over the weekend, put the dilemma of the many Democrats this way. He said, all my life I've been waiting to vote for an African-American president. All my life I've been waiting to vote for a woman as president. So God is saying to me, okay, you got what you asked for.
Now choose. Of course, one of them he's married to. Let's go to Jim in Canton, New York. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Nobody seems to be talking about which of these candidates can handle Congress. Congress can get things done, and Congress can also get things not done. I'm Republican, but I'm for Obama, and I can't vote today because I'm a registered Republican. I can't vote for him today.
Do you think Barack Obama, as president, could reach out to the Republican wing of Congress really bring them on board?
Bring them both together. McCain could do that, but McCain scares me economically. In economics. Those are the only two candidates, I think, who've talked about it and who've demonstrated that they will do it. The other two, I think Hillary's good, but all of her claims are in the first person, that she's going to do it by herself. And I think Congress has got to have a sense of ownership in what happens. And Obama will do that. He's the only one I think will.
Wow, what a year. Jay, thank you very much for your call from New York State there. Jack Beatty, what a year. Were people looking over the fence in a way I really can't quite recall seeing before? Here's a Republican looking over at Obama, thinking about the whole picture, thinking about lines being rearranged in this election.
Yes, indeed. And that's one of the premises of the Obama campaign, that the gap between our issues and our politics is too great. We can't deal with the issues, the problems, without redoing the politics. And, of course, implicitly, that's John McCain, too. There are lots of bills that McCain-Feingold, he's worked across the aisle as well.
Well, we celebrate the democracy in the air today and encourage everybody to get out to the polls. Lucky to be Americans on a day when we're all voting. Go out and do it. Jack, it's been great to have you this hour. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Super Tuesday, here we go. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.